Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, on September 7th, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, is brought to you by the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Bureau. For over 108 years, the Redondo Beach Chamber has played a vital role in helping companies grow their business by taking the lead in programs and efforts that help create a strong local economy and make the community a great place to do business. The Chamber is committed to promoting the community through its aggressive tourism program and by participating in efforts that improve the quality of life in Redondo Beach. In addition, the Chamber represents the interests of business by working year-round to ensure local elected officials and other decision-makers are educated on the impact their actions have on the local economy. Networking programs provide opportunities for members to sell their products and services to peers and make lifelong connections. The Redondo Chamber is also the proud sponsor of signature events in Redondo Beach, such as the Redondo Beach Lobster Festival and Super Bowl Sunday 10K. For additional information on how the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Redondo Beach, visit the website at visitredondo.com.
You can always find out more about our adventures at facebook.com/ The South Bay Show. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and we talk about persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's certainly what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
Summer's over, Joe.
It's not.
Unofficially, no. Unofficially, no. It goes till the 20th of September, the season. But, you know, Labor Day is the unofficial end, you know.
Yeah.
Kids are back in school.
Kids are in school. Traffic is terrible on Valley.
Yeah, vacations are over, man.
Yes.
You know, and the tragedy of it is, for the first time this season, just this past weekend, I got to wear my white linen pants. Now I just have to have them cleaned and put away again for the
season. Oh,
no.
Oh, well. One wearing.
It's very sad. You know something? It was funny. I tried them on earlier this year,
mm-hmm.
earlier this season, and for some reason they just didn't look right. And I was like, huh, that's weird. So I just hung them back up, you know, and a month later I tried them again. I'm like, why do these look so weird? It was finally 2 weeks ago I realized they're too big on me.
Oh.
So I brought them to my tailor a couple of weeks ago, and she was like, yeah, these are too big. So she took them in, and finally I got them back, and I got to wear them last weekend, and then going back into the storage. So.
Right.
Yeah.
The season is over.
Yeah.
Arnett, there's some noise on your end. Is there something we could do about that?
Is that?
I'm not sure. Do you still hear it?
Wait. Do you have us on speaker?
I did. Is it better now?
Yeah, no speaker. We don't do speaker.
You're off. Sorry about that.
All right. Okay.
Well, you know, summer may be over, but we're still here at the beach, and we're still talking about the waterfront.
Yeah.
And, boy, here in Redondo, this waterfront development project is really starting to gain some steam. I mean, it's passing some hurdles
It's big stuff. This is big stuff.
It's very big stuff.
As I like to say, this is way bigger than Redondo Beach. You know, no, seriously, this affects the entire South Bay.
Right.
Everybody should take an interest in it. You know, just because you live in Manhattan Beach or up in Palos Verdes, it's going to affect us all. It's going to affect us all. So everybody needs to be interested in it.
Right. And we want to talk to someone, Jackie, who's really, really been in the trenches, doing the work of really getting involved and watching what the city's doing, watching what CenterCal is doing, Do you think we could find someone like that, Jack?
We have somebody here today, yeah.
Oh, yay. Okay. Who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Arnett Travis from the Redondo Beach Waterfront Crew. Arnett has been in the financial services industry since 1988 after working for the New York Stock Exchange member firms as a stockbroker financial advisor. She transitioned her practice in 2010 to that of an independent advisor to better serve her clients, and in 2015 formed AT Life, a life insurance advisory firm. Her mission is to help individuals and small business owners become financially secure without taking undue risks. She specializes in guaranteed lifetime income streams, tax advantage benefits, and estate protection. A 25-plus year resident of Redondo Beach, Arnett is a member of the 2015 Leadership Redondo class and is actively involved in her community. She's been a member of the North Redondo Beach Business Association for 15-plus years and is the secretary of that organization. Arnett is also a wellness advocate. She serves as a Blue Zones Project ambassador and is currently writing a book on cultural issues. Now, the Waterfront Crew is working with CenterCal on the proposed waterfront development, and Arnett is going to bring us up to date on where the project currently stands. Welcome back to the program, Arnett. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm very happy to be here, Jackie and Joe.
Well, thank you. We would love to talk about what's going on now, but Arnett, you know, despite the fact that, as Jackie pointed out, the waterfront development in Redondo affects the entire region, a lot of people still aren't clued in. Just like in the election, a lot of people don't even care until Labor Day, 2 months before the election. Tell us, where do we come from? Start us at the beginning. How did this all start?
Oh, wow. I hope I can get all my dates and everything straight. I'll do the best I can. But, you know, I've been looking at this as a resident since, I'm going to say the mid-90s, when we had a proposition called Heart of the City. And it was a large project that was, I think, rightfully shot down by residents and, you know, our city officials. They came back a few years later with a reduced Heart of the City plan, which again did not pass the muster. And one of the citizen advocacy groups, Building a Better Redondo, actually put an initiative successfully on the ballot that was called Measure DD. And Measure G is the resulting vote that was made by residents in 2010 that really set the parameters for our peer development. And that's a great guideline that, or the guideline that CenterCal and the city have used in the proposed project that we're still looking at today. Now, CenterCal was not just haphazardly chosen to be the developer for this project. And I'm going to interject here that I think, in fact, I know we made the right decision in selecting CenterCal as our private partner in this effort.
Okay.
Reason being,
okay. Now, Arnett,
go ahead.
This is stuff that you live and breathe, but we need to unpack it a little bit for people that, like I say, don't pay attention like they should, but they want to know. There was a ballot measure, G. That essentially, that's a great name because it provided a guideline for how waterfront development should proceed.
Exactly.
What year
that's
was that?
That was in 2010.
2010.
And it was, you're right to unpack it a little bit because, you know, what's going on right now is the unpacking of Measure G, or I should say undoing, the attempted undoing of Measure G.
Wait. So who brought Measure G forward?
Well, Measure G was a result. It was required or mandated by the ballot. It was Measure DD. Which, and I'm not sure of the year, I think it was around 2005 or 2008, one of those 2 years, I believe. But it was certainly a few years prior to the passage of Measure G in 2010. Mm-hmm. And Measure DD basically said that any changes in zoning had to go before the people. Okay, so Measure G was those, you know, was the zoning changes that resulted from that mandated initiative, Measure DD.
The parameters for zoning changes.
Yes. So basically, G, it breaks down into three main areas: the harbor and the pier area. Okay, that it's zoned largely for a commercial, hotel, timeshare development with one small park. Number two, in Measure G, was the AES power plant site, okay, which allows that plant to operate. Park zoning was permitted on that site, but it wasn't defined or required. Then there was also the third element, a 21-acre area west of Catalina Drive. And that allowed for development of mixed-use housing to commercial to industrial to storage units.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the yes vote on Measure G approved Redondo's local coastal plan,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which requires, yes, the California Coastal Act requires cities and counties along the coastal zone to submit plans for certification. So that's kind of where we're headed at this point with the waterfront, or that's where we're headed with the waterfront at this point, is going to the Coastal Commission. Not directly, but, I mean, there's a couple of other entities that will weigh in, and
right.
but they will be the ultimate authority, exactly.
Right. Now, let me stop you there and say, ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening live, we will take phone calls, quick questions or quick statements. No more than 30 seconds, and we want to keep it moving. You can give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. And I know we have the right person leading us through this discussion. That's great, Arnett. And now the next step was we needed to choose a developer to partner with the city to go forward with this waterfront development.
Exactly.
How did that selection happen?
Okay. CenterCal, and again, and I don't have every fact exactly straight, but I know that there were at least a total of four or more developers, at least four developers that submitted, you know, responded to our request for proposal that the city sent out. Out of those, however many it was, developers that submitted proposals, CenterCal was chosen. One of the things that was important, and it still is important, is the community involvement. And I believe that, you know, CenterCal, I know they were voted 4-1
mm-hmm.
in favor in terms of the selection process,
mm-hmm.
but they have also proven to just be to me, I believe it is unprecedented the amount of community involvement that this developer has
mm-hmm.
in our community. I am simply a resident. I am not paid by anyone. I am not on anyone. I'm self-sustaining. I have been called a plant, and I go, yeah, if by that you mean that I'm a self-sustaining entity that feeds, beautifies itself, and beautifies the planet, then I'm a plant. Okay, because the bottom line is that I'm just a simple citizen, and these people, CenterCal, they listen to you.
Right.
They've been supportive and responsive to every request that I've made of them, and there is no compensation in this for me. I simply have the time. But it's kind of like a snowball. I started out just wanting to see the development of our harbor go through. I didn't know who had the best idea or who had the best plan for it, but it turned out to be CenterCal, and, you know, it is what it is. I don't think it gets any better for Redondo Beach.
Now, when you talk about CenterCal is a big company. They do projects all over the country, perhaps all over the world. They chose, in my opinion, the right strategy, which was we have our, you know, sort of legal team, we have our construction, you know, sort of engineering team, but they needed someone on the ground that understood the local issues and culture and really lived here. And Vice President of Marketing with CenterCal, Mickey Marafino, has done an outstanding job because she knows the South Bay. She's lived here forever.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, you couldn't have picked a better scenario, because they decided that right up front that they knew that we're going to go through a lot of community involvement, which meant community, you know.
Are we in a train tunnel?
I don't know.
We're getting a lot of noise today.
Yeah, sorry.
I think
it's the connection.
But all right.
Community interest. And I think Mickey Marafino has done a fabulous job in guiding that communication. Now, Senator Cal was chosen. What's the next step, Arna?
Well, following their selection, they, of course, went to work on what, you know, the project would look like. And in order to gauge that, they actually held outreach meetings with the community. What do we want? To find out what residents wanted to see, to do, enjoy at the waterfront. As a result of those meetings, those outreach meetings, they went back to the drawing board, and they came up with an absolutely beautiful plan, I believe. You know, I say this. You can have anything you want, but you can't have everything you want. And everything that citizens expressed that they want, not any one person, but a wide sampling of citizen input, went into formulating the specific elements that make up the waterfront project. And, you know, it may be, for example, the movie theater. Everyone doesn't want to go to a boutique movie theater and have a drink and hors d'oeuvres while you watch a, you know, independent film necessarily. But there are those of us who do, who will enjoy doing that. There are other people who want to hit the stand-up paddleboard brigade and get out there in the ocean and commune with nature. There's that is better facilitated. It's a wide sampling of taste and, activities for people to enjoy. And that's what they did. They took that citizen sampling, and they came up with a beautiful project.
What was that? You can have anything you want. You just can't have everything you want.
Right. My mother told me that years ago. You can have anything you want, mm-hmm. anything, mm-hmm. but not everything.
And you have to be willing to pay the price.
Yes, and that's the other part of it, a big part of it, because, as you know, the infrastructure at our pier is literally crumbling. And that you can, you know, try to assign blame for that, but the fact of the matter is that there is a lifespan for every structure, including people, okay?
Arnett, watch your head. Oh.
I avoid that parking structure at the pier like the plague, literally. But that cost is something, just the repair cost of that alone is something that the taxpayers of Redondo Beach would be looking at were it not for a reliable, responsible private partner that is willing to come in and, you know, put that bill for us. I've lived here for a long time. I have yet to see our voters really, I think maybe once, approve a bond measure. And I can't recall what that was right off the bat. But we basically, as taxpayers, we don't want to foot the bill for anything. And that's what CenterCal is doing for us. They will pay that bill. That doesn't mean we turn over and we have no say in the matter. But it does mean that the taxpayers will not have to foot the bill, which is, by the way, somewhere between $37.5 million to $108 million, just for the necessary rehab cost and infrastructure improvements that are necessary. That's a lot of money. That's years of taxes increases.
So, Just to be clear, unlike the AES property, which is privately owned, AES
mm-hmm.
owns that property. That the harbor is a piece of city land. The city owns it. So what?
And
the city,
it, yes.
Go ahead. Yes. So
the city retains ownership. Exactly.
Right. The city owns it. They're going to do I think it's a 99-year lease with the
mm-hmm.
developer. In order for them to that, you know, come up with the money, right, to do all this,
right.
And 99 years for them to recoup their investment, correct?
Basically.
So, yeah, so that's the way it's set up.
Right.
Yes.
Now, that brings us to, I assume that brings us to present day. Is that true?
Pretty much. We've gone through a lot of approvals, you know, in terms of the Harbor Commission was the most recent, I should say, entity to certify, if you will, the environmental impact report that was done. And again, with considerable citizen input on that, there were actual changes that have resulted that were suggested by the citizens, by residents, that CenterCal responded to, and the Harbor Commission on mid-August approved or certified the environmental impact result, and that just basically means that they covered all the bases. They dotted all the I's, crossed all the T's, with one exception, and that's the boat ramp. It's still kind of hanging out there, but I believe that they have found a place for it.
Okay.
You know the boat ramp thing it confuses me. I understand that by state law that anything that's done in the harbor has to include a boat ramp.
Right.
I think many years ago they had a boat ramp down there, but it hasn't been functioning for a long, long time. I know they have the hoist down there. They've had the hoist down there for many years. But it almost seems to me like there are a lot of people that don't want a boat ramp.
I think, and again, I'm not an expert on the boat ramp, the placement of it, or even the necessity for it, but I believe that, like you said, number one, the Coastal Commission, it is a requirement that a boat ramp is there. So that's inarguable. But number two is that I'm not sure of the amount of usage a boat ramp gets. Our harbor, most of the boats that launch out of there are either, I guess, dry docked or and brought down through King Harbor or reside in King Harbor, the other marina there.
The boat ramp would not necessarily be for people from the South Bay.
Not necessarily.
It would be from, you're coming in from, let's go for anyone.
So it's a NIMBY issue. Right?
Pretty much.
You have a boat because you live in Riverside,
mm-hmm.
and you go to the water all the time, which is a joke, because if you live in Riverside, you don't go to any water all the time. You're not near any water. And
right.
And so you want to be able to launch your boat in Redondo Beach.
Wow.
So it's that territorialism again. So people don't necessarily want other people coming in and using their harbor.
Well, I don't even know that that's it. I just believe that, you know, you hear that side, but then there's also the side of we've got to have one because we need one. And we've got to have so much space because there's so many boats that are lined up to come into that want to launch from Redondo Beach. Okay, so, you know, whichever side, just pick one. But I think that either way you look at it, that a boat ramp is not a highly used item in the whole harbor area.
Right.
Even the hoist isn't used that much.
Right.
To launch boats.
But as you say, it's inarguable because the Coastal Commission requires it.
Yes, it's got to be there.
It's got to be there. They'll find a place for it because they have to.
Exactly, and they will. I have no doubt.
Yeah. So now we are at a point now. We have this beautiful 17-foot-long is 17-foot-long model, right, Jackie?
Yeah.
And we've passed many hurdles. What are the hurdles left to pass through?
Well, I'm going to ignore one hurdle right off the bat because it has not become – it's an issue, but it's not a legitimate issue at this point, and that is an initiative petition that's being circulated for an initiative to be placed on the ballot. If everything, the way that things are going right now, it looks like our next hurdle would be the Army Corps of Engineers – the Coast Guard, and finally, the Coastal Commission. So the California Coastal Commission would be the ultimate and final authority that would be signing off on this project.
Okay.
So let's. I've got my fingers crossed, and I'm not particularly superstitious, but I just want this to happen so bad. And it's not just for me. It's, in fact, it's more for succeeding generations.
Right.
You know, when I hear young people say, I don't go to Redondo. We don't hang out in Redondo. And I'm like, but you live in Redondo. Yeah, we love Redondo. We love Redondo Union High School. But the harbor area, there's nothing there for them.
Yeah. Now, what is the timing on the Coastal Commission's action?
I don't know that it's been actually scheduled yet.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, have their own calendar. They've got the entire coastline of California to regulate and oversee. So I would think, though, what I understand is that possibly early next year, 2017, that or by then it should come before the Coastal Commission for approval.
Doesn't it have to go through the City Council at some point? Or is that already done?
You know, it's already done, but here's the thing, is that there is, and I'm not exactly sure, so I don't want to speak to that or misspeak by saying that they do not have any further input. I know that if the Roe, this group called Roe, is successful in their initiative, that will require a City Council hearing, and that would take place by December 6th, I believe, by the December 6th meeting, you know, before vacation, holiday vacations and all that. But, again, that's an if. It could very well happen that it would be back before City Council.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. I know that's not a complete answer because I just don't know that they would have to go back before. It's my understanding if there were no interruptions, no delays, that the project would be before the Coastal Commission next by early next year for approval.
Joe, this is a good point. Let's stop. Let's do a commercial and station break, and then we can come back and talk about other stuff.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking about the waterfront with Arnett Travis, a member of the Redondo Beach waterfront crew. And if you want to know what's going on with the waterfront project, you can always check out CenterCal Properties, and they have some beautiful renderings, and there's even a huge 17-foot-long model at CenterCal's offices in El Segundo, Jackie?
Yes, and they're having a mixer there tonight.
Oh.
The Redondo Chamber is having a mixer there tonight.
Okay.
So everyone's welcome to go down, mix, and check out the model.
Even more immediate, tonight you can see the model at a Redondo Chamber mixer and really find out more information and get more details on where things are today.
It's a heck of a model.
And, of course, if you'd like to call in, we'd love to have you. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. And we'd also like to thank a sponsor.
This segment of the South Bay Show is brought to you by Your Actualized Visions. A local advertising agency, Your Actualized Visions offers all your advertising needs under one roof. From logo design, business cards, banners, and signage, to online services such as website design, SEO management, promotional videos, reputation management, and loyalty promotions, you name it, and Your Actualized Visions will handle it for you on time and under budget. Built on the needs of their clients, Your Actualized Visions is competitively priced and economical, saving you money and greatly enhancing your bottom line. at Your Actualized Visions, customer service is all local with one point of contact. No more dealing with robo-answering machines, getting the runaround, or speaking to someone in another country. Your Actualized Visions understands your hyper-local advertising needs and focuses on bringing you real clients. They do not buy likes, followers, or fake results. Your campaigns are real, built with real community followers who want to purchase your services and products. The only thing standing in the way of your company's success is you now picking up the phone right now and calling Your Actualized Visions at 310-413-8773. To learn more about what Your Actualized Visions can do for you and your company, visit the website at youractualizedvisions.com. Your Actualized Visions, your dreams today, not someday.
All right, we're back. Now, Arnett, are you on a cordless phone?
I am.
Are you close to the base station?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, we're just getting some static happening.
Yeah, it's just standard.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It's
well,
clear to me.
Yeah,
but...
yeah. It's standard. Now, okay. Well, so far, Arnett, it's been a great discussion about what has taken place, what's taking place now. Of course, that's great news that tonight there is a chamber mixer at Senator Kell's offices so people can see the model and really get more questions answered. What do you expect, Arnett, in the next near term? What do you expect and what do you hope for?
Okay, well, two things. Number one, I need to back up and address your former. I got the answer on with regard to the next steps or where it's going with regard to city council, our local government. And that is that the Harbor Commission that I referred to that certified the environmental impact report back in August, it was appealed. Their decision was appealed. So the issue will be back in front of city council probably later this month or early October.
Mm-hmm. Well, who appealed that?
It was the group Roe, Rescue Our Waterfront.
Mm-hmm. So any citizen group can go and save the Harbor Commission after they've made a decision? How does that work? You probably don't know.
Yes, they can. Well, they, have to have a legal structure, or I should say a legal entity to put together the initiative, exactly, the appeal, what their objections are specifically and why, that kind of thing. And so that was done, and it was appealed, and it, like I said, it'll be back in front of city council late this month or late September, early October. So then that is actually kind of the next step. So it's not going straight on to, the Army Corps of Engineers or the California Coastal Commission before we, cover this hurdle, get over this hurdle. Which I pray that we will, because the alternative is, and this is something that is really being misrepresented by another citizen advocate group, as I mentioned, Roe, and that is this. That if we, first of all, we don't have the money. The city of Redondo Beach does not have $37.5 million or more lying around to repair the harbor area, the parking lot, or any of the pier that needs replacement. So if we, it's like if we monkey around and mess up this opportunity, what developer is going to look? It'll be citizens. And quite frankly, it is a minority of citizens that are objecting to this project. Mm-hmm. If we, if we mess this up, then where do we go? We go to the crumbling, like you say, watch out, Arnett, watch mm-hmm. out, everyone, because it will fall apart. It's not if, it's when the parking structure becomes inoperable. All of those businesses at the pier, you just put the, that's a nail in their coffin. It literally is, because they will not be able to support any businesses if they don't, there's no parking.
No.
And I need to jump in here. As everybody knows, I am a proponent for this project. All right. I've been very out there about that. I believe this project needs to get done. I was in the real estate development industry for many, many, many years, so I know how this works. But, you know, everybody, you know, just keeps talking about the parking structure, which I wrote through it again this weekend. You know, I went up to Fiesta Hermosa, and I wrote through that awful parking structure. I do it several times a week, all right? But it is not just the parking structure, okay?
No.
It's not just the parking structure. The Pier Plaza project above the parking structure, it has failed since day one. The businesses up there are suffering. What businesses are up there are suffering, okay? That whole thing needs to be scraped, all right? The International Boardwalk, all right? It has seen rejuvenation in the last year or two. There are a lot of new businesses that have moved in there specifically to make sure they're grandfathered in to the CenterCal project. They want a foot in the door. That is why there's been this, you know, revitalization of that area. But what we have to remember is those storefronts, Bass Kitchen, Paddle House, The Slip, King Harbor Brewing, Tap Room, all of these businesses along there, those units that they're in were originally meant for storage, okay?
Right, boat storage.
Right, right, yeah. And they were never meant to house businesses. One of the biggest issues there is the where they are located, the elevation. The elevation on that entire area needs to be raised, I may be wrong, somewhere like from 4 to 7 feet, something like that?
Yes, yes.
All right?
Yes.
Every time there's a large swell, those businesses flood. All right? Every time there's a large swell, never mind a big storm, but, you know, a lot of times once we get into the rainy season, you'll see sandbags all along there. All right? If we get a couple of good storms this year, a lot of those places are going to be suffering.
Right.
Absolutely.
All right? So it's not just the parking structure. You know, I go into aesthetics, you know, all along that Harbor Drive, you know, we're just looking at parking lots. You got a couple.
You're absolutely right.
The space can be so much better utilized. It can be beautified. It desperately needs to be beautified. People against this project have been screaming about views. As I said, I ride that, you know, section along the waterfront there all the time. And I've gone and I've looked at the model. All right. What I see, this is my opinion, because I went and I looked at the model and I eyeballed it. The biggest view impact is going to be for Crowne Plaza Hotel. That they're going to be the most impacted with the view. All right, as far as this development, a lot less view impact is a lot less view is going to be impacted from the condos than people seem to think. Some of the lower floor ones will be, but you got to remember they're elevated. They're higher. If you go and you look at the model and you stand across from it where you're looking across, you know, from the water's view across, the view impact is not going to be anywhere near as bad as people are saying. So I really believe it's very important for everyone to get down and look at this model. All right?
I agree. Let me give you the number where people can call CenterCal to schedule a viewing. Because, you know, tonight is a great opportunity at the mixer, the chamber mixer there, to see the model. But CenterCal has literally opened up their doors to say, anyone who wants to view the model, call us, make an appointment. That number is 310-563-6900. And residents can call CenterCal, make an appointment, go in and see it. And El Segundo is, I say it's easier to drive from North Redondo to El Segundo than it is to South Redondo. There's been some questions about why isn't it in the harbor. It's not in the harbor because CenterCal has to, I mean, they spent thousands of dollars on that 3D model. And why? Because residents asked for it. People wanted to visualize it, you know, better than they could on the video that they produced and have online for people to see. Mm-hmm. But so they're accommodating. They're willing to accommodate anyone. But they spent thousands of dollars on that model. It needs to be protected. It needs to be protected. You can't just put it out in the open and, oh, just come by the harbor and see it. It's not that kind of a model. Plus, as Jackie pointed out, it's like 17 feet long.
It's a big one. It takes up a whole room. It's a big one. And they did say that somewhere down the road when they found, if and when they find an appropriate spot to bring it down to Redondo Beach, that they would. But in the meantime, I highly recommend everybody make the effort. Go up to the offices and see this thing. It's amazing.
And you were also right, Jackie, with regard to the structures that need improvement exceed the parking lot. There's the parking structure. That's the largest one in terms of cost and urgency. But Seaside Lagoon, the city pays thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars in fines because of the poor water quality. There's the municipal and the Mondstadt Pier, the sport fishing pier, the boat launch, the Basin 3 dock and boat slips. So you're talking, you know, down there's International Boardwalk, the protective measures to mitigate against the rising sea level, as well as bicycle and pedestrian circulation. That needs improvement. If you ride your bike down there, you know how you have to get off and walk through that area to get back on the path.
And I'm
so all of
you,
that needs improvement.
I'm ready to start wearing a helmet when I go under there.
It's a good idea, too, anyway.
Yeah. Well, yes, yeah. It is. The bicycle helmet is always a good idea. You're right. And by the way, you know, Joe, I've gone to many of these outreach meetings. You know, the city did some with CenterCal. CenterCal did some. The city did some. I went to the Harbor Commission meetings and stuff. And there are a lot of factions. You know, there are the, quote, boat people, you know, the yacht clubs that we have down there. You know, everybody, there's a lot of different groups that have vested interests in this project, the outrigger canoe clubs, you know, in addition to the restaurants and the residents that live down there. And any project this big, as Arnett said, you're not going to get everything you want. You know, everybody isn't going to get everything they want. But most people are willing to work with each other. You know, the yacht club people are willing to work. They're not crazy about the boat ramp being at Mulby. You know, they don't know that it's the best location, but they're willing to work with all the other groups, you know. So, you know, it's a big project. You're not going to, what's the saying, Joe? You can't please all the people all the time. You can something like that, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, exciting, and of course, it's time to bring Bobby Christian into the conversation. Bobby, are you with us?
I sure am. It's great to be here with you guys today.
It is great, and thank you for joining us. And this is such a huge issue, Bobby. The chamber has been right there every step of the way. Guiding and helping people to have opportunities to educate themselves. Tell us what's going on, Bobby Christian, around town.
Well, there's a ton of stuff going on this week with the chamber as well as in the artistic community in Redondo Beach this weekend. So since the chamber gets started tonight, let's talk about some of the stuff happening this week. There's a mixer tonight at CenterCal. It's at 5:30 to 7:30. Then there's a network cafe tomorrow at Joe's Crab Shack. It's a midday network cafe, so 11:30 to 1 p.m. And then this weekend, there is a ribbon cutting and the grand opening of Soul Fitness LA. They're offering some specials for people who show up, as well as members. There's a special per-month package, $89 a month. So you should definitely check that out if you don't do yoga or if you're thinking about getting into yoga. This is a great place to get started and a great way to save some money if you want to give it a try. And then on the tourism side of things, well, this weekend is our art weekend. First off, we have Art in the Harbor. That's going to be this Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It features paintings, photography, wood sculpture, jewelry, ceramics, prints, just about every type of art. That's going to be taking place all weekend long. And then on Saturday at the pier is the Chalk Art Festival, which happens a couple times a year. And it's awesome for the first dozen or so people that show up. There's free chalk and free places to do chalk art so you can bring the kids down. And, of course, Friday, the Ruby's Classic Car Show continues, as it does every summer. It goes through the end of the month, actually. So if you haven't done that yet, check it out. Also, this week, tomorrow, starts free yoga on the pier. Every Thursday at 6 p.m. this month, there's free yoga on the Redondo Beach Pier. So that is something else to get busy with this weekend.
All right. Now,
free yoga every Thursday?
Every Thursday of September, starting at 6 p.m.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, Bobby, the mixer tonight is going to be at CenterCal. Do you have that address available?
I sure do. The CenterCal address is at 1600 East Franklin Avenue, El Segundo, California, 90245. This information is all available also on the Redondo Chamber website, in case you didn't write that down. As well as any information about the chamber, check out redondochamber.org.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for that. And, of course, we await announcements on redondobeachweddings.org.
I will have so many announcements come October 1st, but right now it's got to be all about Lobster Festival, which – if you guys haven't checked it out yet, we have a blog on our site right now with an interview with Grace Band. They're an Elvis cover band that's actually from Redondo Beach. It's got a really interesting origin story. So check out that. They play on Friday night. It's going to be a really great night at the festival. It's like it's Grace Band, and then, of course, it's Elvis or it's Beatles versus Stones. So it's all the classic hits in one night. But the origin story, the Redondo Beach origin story of Grace Band is really interesting. So make sure to check that out.
That's how you know it's the end of summer, Joe. We start talking about Lobster Fest.
That's right. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Bobby Christian, from the Redondo Beach Chamber, for joining us today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All righty. Well, Arnett, we have some time left. What do you want people to think about when it comes to the waterfront? What do you want people to focus on?
Right now, the focus has to be on the a petition for an initiative that's circulating. There are people, the group Row Rescue Our Waterfront, that are literally misleading people into signing an initiative that, you know, that they say, what they're saying basically is that it will not stop the waterfront project. It's going to make sure that the waterfront gets done a certain way. Well, that ship has already sailed. Measure G set the parameters of what the size of the project. So we do not need to vote again, you know, because they don't like the outcome of Measure G, which passed, you know, it was voted by majority, 52.5 to 47.5. That's a wider margin, by the way, of votes than most election results in Redondo Beach. So clearly, citizens have spoken. They want the project to proceed, or they want the development of our waterfront to proceed. And the CenterCal project is only 73%, less than three quarters of what Measure G allowed. So we've already voted. We don't need to vote again. So it's really important that the facts get out, and the facts, again, indisputable. Redondo voters voted on waterfront revitalization, the size and the scope of it, in Measure G. We do not need to re-vote Measure G. The second thing is that realize that if you sign this petition, and if by some reason, way they are able to pass, to get on the ballot and to stall this project, that's what it will do. It will stall the project. If CenterCal backs out, it will be many, many years, no doubt, many years before any developer will even look at our harbor again, which means that, again, not if, but when the infrastructures at that pier start to just crumble into the ocean or just fall apart, we taxpayers will be stuck with 100% of that bill. We have a great private partner in CenterCal that's willing to listen to us. They have made adjustments to their plan, to their model, which, you know, I mean, every developer wouldn't do that. Most developers would have come in, put a plan that was 100%. They would have packed it. And just because it's not, I mean, just because it is what it is, and it's a beautiful plan. The third thing, and this is really important, is that there is the opposition has no alternative plan. So if this gets shot down, there's no money. They have no money to realize any other vision that they have, which vision has not been put forth. They can't accomplish the repairs, let alone any revitalization or development. So I want residents to really focus on that, to look at the details in that initiative and to understand that if this project is stalled, if it does not go forth, that the taxpayer will be footing the bill.
Now, we can't represent the opposition properly, even though I imagine a scenario that we could sort of expand on, but it would all be sort of completely imaginary. Let's say CenterCal pulled out. Let's say the harbor development needed to go forward anyway. No developer wanted to step up, and the city decided they were going to spend the money, and it was going to cost $80 million. What would that do to the city budget?
Well, first of all, it's not as if we're super flush at this point.
Sure.
But it would require a bond measure. Mm-hmm. And bonds are debt. Mm-hmm. It means that the city would sell those bonds off, and they would pay for those bonds, the interest on those bonds, and eventually the principal through taxpayer revenue. Mm-hmm. Homeowners, every homeowner in Redondo, it could even extend beyond homeowners. There could be a special sales tax, or, you know, any special tax could be initiated in order to meet those payments. But it has to be done. Do we want a dead pier area for real?
Well, that's the point. I think the point is that if CenterCal, God forbid, were to pull out,
right,
and no other developer were to step in, the city would be, in a sense, forced to go forward and to say, well, we have to redevelop the waterfront. We can't let it crumble. We have to pay for it, and we're going to have to float a bond. And that's
exactly
what cities are forced to do all over, all the time.
Yeah, but the city is not a developer, and the city shouldn't be a developer.
It would be.
There are professionals. There are professional developers. That's why the city brought on a partner.
Right. There'd be
trust me, you do not want the city developing anything.
There'd
right?
be much
no.
more of an impact than just money. It would be city services. It would be lots of impact.
You know what it comes down to? What it comes down to is, for whatever reason, and for the life of me, I really don't know why, this group, ROW, does not want this project to go through for whatever reason, but they don't have a plan. They don't have a partner. They don't have the money. They're going to put it on the backs of the residents of Redondo Beach. Right?
Exactly.
So I'm just going to come out and say it. Do not sign that petition. Do not sign it. I've seen them. I saw them at Fiesta Hermosa this weekend. They've been down at the farmer's market. They were at the sidewalk sale. They're showing up at all of these events, and they're trying to – they're badgering people, too. They're badgering people, and they're bullying people.
Hmm.
All right? I had two people I know – came up to me, said they walked by the table, I think it was at the farmer's market in Riviera Village, and they said, oh, are you a resident of Redondo Beach? And they said, yeah. And they said, well, you want to sign this? And they were like, no. And they were like, don't you care? You know, they're badgering people, and they're bullying people.
Hmm.
Fear and intimidation are their tools. They
exactly.
do. They
exactly.
use them very.
More importantly, they don't have a plan. They'll tell you they have a plan for bonds, but what they're telling you is that residents of Redondo Beach, you're going to end up paying for this. So
well,
that's the
right.
plan, to get the residents to pay for it.
That's a four-letter word, B-O-N-W, or B-O-N.
B-O-N-D.
A four-letter word, and people all over the South Bay, I mean, bond measures have alternately been defeated and passed in Hermosa that have, you know, had a lot of impact, but it's
and very contentious.
Very.
It pits neighbor against neighbor, and it's not nice. But you know, something, we live in a democracy, and if you want to, you know, be a part of it, you know, you have to step up. So, and you know, I've already done that.
Yeah.
You know, I've already made my views clear on this, and I'm getting a lot of flack. Oh my God, you won't believe the names they call me online.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. I would believe it.
I had one guy actually went so far as to say, "Why don't you stay in Torrance where it's already messed up?"
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So. So it's ugly. It's nasty. But I'm telling you, folks, do not sign that petition. All right. They're trying to undo what they already did with Measure G. You know, so just don't sign it. Sorry, I'm gonna get a lot of flack for this, but that's okay.
There you go. Now, I have a question for you, Arnett.
Okay.
I'm nearing retirement. Actually, I'm never retiring, but I'm just saying I'm nearing retirement age.
Okay.
And I want to put some money into an investment that could never go down, would provide me tax advantage benefits, and perhaps even a death benefit. Do you have anything like that?
Absolutely. Cash value life insurance, which comes in different forms. So if you're near retirement age, a whole life policy might be a bit costly for you because, you know, insurance tends to go up. It goes up as we age. But a universal or an indexed universal life insurance policy where you would have a guaranteed death benefit, but you can also overfund it. By that, basically, I'm saying that if you put more money, so you want to be able to tap into a tax-free income stream later on, say 10 years out, then you, in the ensuing 10 years, you would be able to put an extra amount, say, let's just say, for example, that the insurance cost, the cost of a guaranteed death benefit for you would be $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that would cost you on a yearly basis $500. $500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Well, instead of putting $500 a month into that policy, I know it gets expensive as you get older. Instead of putting $500, which is just the cost of insurance, you might put $800 or $1,000 a month into that policy. So that extra money, that extra three or $500 that you would pay above the cost of your insurance, would be put into an account that is going to grow. Okay, and
right.
It grows. All of it grows tax-free, tax-deferred, and tax-free upon withdrawal.
Where can people find out more about things like this and contact you?
Well, they can call me, area code 310-871-2547, and I work with a large variety of insurance companies, or I should say insurers, that cover different, you know, as we get older, we have different health issues. Some of them may not cover a smoker, others do, or at least have premiums that are more reasonable for people with health challenges such as diabetes or, you know, a history of heart disease. So they can call me and we'll, you know, I'll take some simple information and, you know, get you hooked up with the right policy, the right insurance company for that.
Now, do you have a website?
I do not as right now at this point. And I say that because it's been it's under construction. I've redone it. I've got the domain and all that, but it's under construction.
And what's the phone number again?
310-871-2547.
Well, I think we've
Did you get all your questions answered, Jill?
Well, I certainly will. I'll have to give Arnett a call and get my questions answered. But I certainly have gotten my questions answered about what's going on with the waterfront and how we can get involved. And one of those ways is to show up for the Redondo Chamber Mixer tonight mm-hmm. in El Segundo, and perhaps I'll do that.
Oh, if you haven't seen the model, you have to go down.
I have to go down.
You do.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Arnett Travis, for joining us today.
You're very welcome. All right. Bye, Jackie and Joe.
And thank you. Hold on a moment, Arnett. And thank
sure.
you, Jackie.
Oh, always a pleasure, Joe.
All right. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.